Hi, good evening. This is Deborah Herman, and I am thrilled to be back on Soul Odyssey Radio. It's been a long journey for me. I had some unexpected health issues, and as an energy worker and spiritual person, I took it as a call from the universe to not only walk my talk, but to learn all about ways of making my body healthy, and to be more in tune with myself and with the universe. But enough about me. I'm just so thrilled to be back. This is live tonight, after long last, and we are a live call-in show. We are at 888-815-9756. Our topic this evening is animals love to talk. And yes, indeed, they do. And so if you want to call in for just a personal question, that's fine. I always welcome those. But tonight, if you'd like to call in about your favorite animal companion, that's probably more in keeping with the topic, and you can also join in the discussion. I know that some of you also are animal communicators, and you may not know that you are. Some of you may just love your animals, and I'm going to talk to you tonight about how you can communicate with them more readily and how you probably already are doing it. And with a little bit of focus and a little bit of practice, you too can call yourself an animal translator or animal communicator. So, again, that number is 888-815-9756. Don't be shy. I welcome all of your calls. This is also your show. Now, I love my animals, and they've taught me so much about being a person, much more than I'm sure I will ever have the pleasure of teaching them. And I discovered my gift of animal communication through my animals. See, we're very fortunate. We have Amanda from Massachusetts. What is your question, and how are you this evening?
Hi, Deborah. I'm great. I called in actually before, and you've always been very helpful. So I just want to ask you about a couple of our animals. One is Sunny, and she's a cat, and she's having severe like digestion issues. And I'm just wondering, you know, if there's anything that's going on in her surroundings that we're that's contributing to it, and just in general, if they're happy, if they're happy.
Well, first of all, you tell your cat that I can totally relate to these digestive issues, all right? Because that's what's going on with me. Okay? So
Okay.
I understand that if she's having tummy problems, that it's really not fun. But I it is totally not fun at all. But the first image that came into my mind as you were mentioning your kitty is do you have any plants in your house?
Not that, not, I mean, we have a couple, but they're high up and they're not something that they get to, and they're kind of dying.
Just be careful whether or not she's getting a hold of falling leaves. Something, you know, I have a feeling that she's eating something that she's not supposed to be eating. Does she get
Okay.
into stuff?
No, not really. We've been trying to mix up some of their food choices because she's overweight, so she may not be liking what she's eating, but she doesn't really get into too much.
Well, you know, I watch because sometimes I get very strange images, and at first it's like, no. But when I was first learning about animal communication, I was at a class, and the teacher said for all of us to pick up on what the animal's favorite food is. And I kept getting this picture of these corn puffs, like just corn puffs. And the teacher kept saying, "No, that's impossible. I never give my bunny," it was a bunny, "I never give my bunny corn puffs." But she later said, "Oh my God, my children eat corn puff cereal." So somehow the bunny was getting a hold of the corn puffs. So not that I'm the final authority, but the very first vision I got relating to the cat was something to do with plants. So just, you know, keep that in mind, because it's very possible that she's eating, especially if she's not getting as much food or she's, you know, or it's not the same food. She may be a chewer. So just try to be extra vigilant with that. I'm not feeling like she has anything that's life threatening.
Okay.
You know,
now, are they overall, are they, I'm just curious if they're happy. We've got a dog and they don't seem to like him, so.
The cats don't like the dog?
Yeah.
Now you have more than one cat?
Two cats and then the dog. He's just a little guy. Smaller than the cats, actually.
You know, I hate to tell you, but that's kind of the universe of cats and dogs. That's really the way they are with each other. You may find that if you really just leave it alone and if you're not around, they may interact even better than you think.
But,
you know what I'm saying? But particularly, I mean, cats are really funny about this, particularly when they're being observed. They just will not acknowledge that they even like a dog.
Yeah.
And if it's two cats, then you've got two against one. So and cats are very superior in their attitude.
Yeah.
You know, and they just won't acknowledge that they could. I mean, just, you know, even though it's a cartoon, think about Garfield and Odie.
Yeah.
It's really
true. That's actually one of the cats' former names, Garfield.
Yeah, I have a cat named Garfield also. Yeah, but that the reason why that's a funny comic strip is because it's really very true. Cats and dogs are like men and women. We are different species. And there are very different personality traits that you'll find with a cat. I actually sometimes find it a little more difficult to read cats because, you know, they have attitude. They have catitude.
Yep.
So, but I'm not feeling, you know, that they hate the dog and that it's a bad decision to have the dog and the cats. I think that, you know, leave it alone. They get along okay enough when you're not paying attention.
Okay.
Does that help?
Thank you very much. Yes, it does.
Well, I love that you're listening, and you're in Massachusetts, so do look up my website. I am available also for private consultations with animals. I have a venue. I can meet them in person, and I do energy work also with animals. I'm also working with peoples, with animals and their peoples. So
I will email you.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you again. Getting back to our main discussion about animals and how they love to talk, if you are sharing a home with an animal, you will find that you are probably doing a lot of animal communication and don't even realize it. You know, your instincts about how they're feeling are usually correct. Now, with me, there are many ways that people can communicate with animals. When I was much, much, much younger, and I may have, you know, forgive me, I know I've got some steady listeners, and you may have heard some of these stories before, but I've missed you. I haven't been doing a live show for, it's been weeks and weeks. So if I repeat myself, maybe I'll make it a little more interesting this time and I'll embellish tell you a few of the stories of how things got started for me. I know some of you are also new listeners, and I welcome you to our Soul Odyssey show, which is weekly. So when I first started, I can recall I had a cat, and I would be like in that halfway awake state and half dream state when you're just getting up in the morning. And I would get these pictures in my head of my cat literally going into the cabinet and getting the cat food. And, you know, my cat wasn't doing that in the waking state, but it was showing me in my mind, hey, it's food time. I want to be fed. And so, you know, that was a telepathic psychic picture. But that's early on when I realized that, you know, cats send things in pictures and also they send in feelings. One of my first experiences with cats, I really started more with cats. I grew up with a little poodle, but he was really more of like an enchanted human being that was stuck in a poodle body. And he was sort of like a sibling that I didn't get along with, you know, because he was really, really, really spoiled. And so we sort of tolerated each other. And I swear that dog lived, he must have been in his 20s. And he was at times, you know, as a teenager, he was like the bane of my existence. So I think it's very ironic that I later become, you know, very, very, very much of a dog person. I can communicate with them because this one really used to drive me crazy. But poodles, I love poodles, but they really, really are smart. And so sometimes it's really like having a human being. And for me, Sammy was like a brother, and he was like an annoying little brother. So, and I was the youngest, so that we had sibling rivalry. So anyway, enough about Sammy. As I progressed, I had a cat named Smokey, and he was my companion when I was a young adult. And he went everywhere with me and lived in my different apartments when I was in school, and I adored him. And eventually, Smokey became very, very ill. At the time, they didn't have the same kind of tests that we have for things like feline leukemia and the vaccinations. And I heartily recommend that everyone get their animals vaccinated and spayed and neutered. But poor Smokey had feline leukemia. So when it came his time and I made a purposeful transition for him, that's what I call it, not putting to sleep. I call it purposeful transitioning of their souls. And we helped him. I left him at the veterinary office. And, you know, this was very early on in my awakening to my gifts and to spirituality and the spiritual path. And I was home and I saw him in my home. He was there. And I realized that it was the exact time that he would very likely have been transitioned because the vet took care of that after hours. So Smokey came to visit me. And for many, many years, he would visit me in dreams, and I would feel his presence. But that's one of the first times I ever realized that, you know, that the animal's soul continues and can communicate with you psychically when, you know, after they leave their body. So, you know, you may be having experiences with animals and with your own psychic abilities, and you're questioning them because it's not something that you can control at first. And sometimes you really can think you're just crazy. It's like, no, I couldn't possibly know that. No, I couldn't possibly be hearing that, because what happened to me later is I developed a gift of telepathy with animals. Now, when you first start hearing them, you really think you've gone bonkers, because it's like, no, I had to have just made that up. But it's different. It's just like when you're learning, if you're an intuitive, you start to learn to distinguish what's your own voice and your own subconscious from your higher self. And it's the same way that you learn to distinguish whether or not it's your, you know, your own voice or whether you're communicating with the animals. And it's a really fascinating process. And I feel very grateful that as my gifts unfolded, that I've developed this telepathy with animals because they have some amazing and interesting and funny things to say. Now, I totally enjoyed hearing from Amanda. So if any of you also have questions about your animals, feel free to call. Do not be shy. The phone number is 888-815-9756. And for those of you out there who are also in tune with your animals, animal whisperers, animal communicators, I love to hear from you too. Share some of your insights and some of your experiences as well. In the future, I do often invite guests on my show, and in the future, I will invite a few of my favorite animal communicators so you can get a sense of what it's like from many different perspectives. The animal that, aside from my wonderful cats and Smokey, the animals that really made me understand my personal communication was a dog I had who was aptly named Bony. He has since now gone to, you know, gone past, I think they call it the Rainbow Bridge, but he was a very old whippet. And he was the first dog that really entered into my, that's not true. I have had dogs, and I had a dog, Blossom, who lived to be 17, and she had many, many things to say. I was able to do some interviews with her about what it's like for them when they do pass over, when she was on this side of the veil. But Bony was really my first dog that crawled inside of my heart. I mean, I was so connected with him in so many, so many ways. And we just were in tune with each other and communicated with each other. And interestingly enough, I had to have some surgery. And okay, it could have been the drugs, but drugs also will open you up even more if you're already very psychic. But I literally felt him sleeping next to me like he used to sleep next to me when he was alive. And I would see him in dreams. So, you know, your animal companions come to you, in my opinion, come to you for a reason and share parts of your life like little guardian angels when they're alive. But they have a limited lifespan. And what we learn from them, too, is that life continues on for them. And even if they're not in their physical bodies, my experience has been that with my close animal companions, they visit me on the dream state. And they sometimes visit me, you know, in my waking life. And they stay with you. And it's totally amazing. So when you have an animal in your life, and for example, if it's a stray, or if you go to a shelter and you rescue a dog or a cat, and you just felt that, like, boy, this is my cat or this is my dog, that's very real. And it's very likely that you were guided to that particular animal because animals enhance our lives. And they're one of the reasons that I like to talk about animal communication and I like to do it and work with animals is because we're first starting to understand how important they are to our planet and how important it is for us as human beings not to consider ourselves to be the grand superior species with, you know, everything else subordinate to us. We share our planet and there's spirit and there's God in everything, particularly in the gifts of our animal companions. You know, I I deal with food allergies, which, drive me bananas. Oh, can't even eat bananas. But I really feel sad for people who are very sensitive to animals and can't have them around, because they add so much to your life and so much to your spiritual growth. And they're able to teach you truly how to love, because, of course, people say their love is unconditional. Well, I do have to say, however, that my dogs are able to communicate their unhappiness with me. When I had my surgery and had to be away, I was at the in the hospital. Of course, I was there for like a week or 10 days or whatever it was. And I found out that I have a whippet, and I found out that the whippet was really on strike the whole time I was gone. And my other dog, the two of them would gang up together, and they never do this when I'm home. But they kept ripping all of the cushions off all of the couches, knocking them on the floor, and they were acting out, and they were so bad, and they were incorrigible. And one time the whippet got out of the house and took off and ran away and came to our office, which we didn't even know that she knew where it was, and she was looking for me. Which is so sad, but it just shows you that they're not unaware, and they are very emotional, and they're very feeling, and they're very connected to their humans, and they will find ways, even though, again, thank God I have the gift of telepathy, I don't really have to use it that much with my own pets. I hate to even call them pets, that, they can call me their pet, my animal friends, because they communicate to you in so many ways if you're paying attention. They're not, if they're acting out and they're being incorrigible, there's a reason for it. And by paying attention and by trying to understand a little bit more about their world and how simple it is, emotionally, you'll understand why all of a sudden all the cushions are off the couches. She was really mad, and she didn't know if I was coming back. And when I came back, one of the dogs, was all over me and wouldn't leave my sight or side for a minute, and was kissing me and loving me and jumping on me and nuzzling me. And the whippet, who had been the one who was making such a big fuss and tearing all the cushions off the couch, wouldn't even look at me, because she was sulking, and she was expressing how unhappy she was. Where were you? You were gone. You left me alone. You abandoned me. So, they will communicate with you through their actions and their body language. Now, there are times with my own pets that I'm given information, that's kind of funny. I have a cat, and I referred to him earlier, Garfield, and we have a companion for Garfield whose name is Caruso, and they kind of hang out in one room. But one day, for a couple of days, Garfield was running around the house, and he sounds like he's actually speaking English. And he was meowing, and he was, it sounded like hello, hello, and he was just you couldn't it was he was purposely making some of the most annoying cat sounds that you could possibly make. And just like you do, with what you would do if it's a baby, is you want to see, well, hungry, litter box, not feeling well. But what was funny is, my husband said, well, I fed them. There's food in the bowl. But what he had done is he put food in one bowl for two cats. And Garfield has a favorite bowl because the way he likes to eat is he like moves all the food in his mouth at once. He thinks he's a lion, I think. And so he eats food like a lion would eat food. He eats it very quickly, and he has this one special bowl that's where he likes his food. But I saw a vision of it, clairvoyantly. He showed me a picture. Wait a second. I want my food in my bowl. I don't want to share a bowl with this, I love Caruso, they're buddies and they're like little old men and they sit together all day and hang out. He said, but I'm not sharing my bowl. And the second that we put the food in the bowl, it stopped. Now, again, I've developed a certain level of intuition, but you, in spending a lot of time with your animal companions, you can develop that as well. Try to focus in, perhaps choosing a spot on the, on the cat's head or something, and just kind of focus and let yourself get very quiet. And just see if you can see any pictures or get any feelings of what might be going on with the cat. And you'll be very, very surprised, because after a while, it just starts to open up and you'll be able to know. I mean, it was very comical because the second we put food in the second bowl, in the particular bowl that was blue, that had a certain kind of, the cat ate it and he stopped caterwauling and all was fine in our home. So it's just, you'll find that you can do it as well. I mean, I'd love to be able to do a more in-depth conversation with you as my listeners, about your individual, animal companions. And I do think that, I've been blessed to have a little bit more developed. My skills are more developed, but that's just because some of us have our skills more developed. But you want to be able to do it too, and to enjoy fully, the relationship that you can have with, all of the animals that are around you. Now, once again, I'm going to announce our number for those of you who want to call in. It's 888-815-9756, and I hope that you will call in. I'd love to get to know spiritually and psychically somebody else's animal companion. But I did promise for those of you who don't already know, I have a wonderful horse named Tonk, and he has his own web page on Facebook called Tonk the Mystic Wonder Horse. Tonk. I hope I'm getting it correct. I'm giving you the correct Facebook link, but I think if you just they have this place on top where you can search. And it's Tonk the Mystic Wonder Horse. He has his own fan page, and he is really awesome. And he taught me a lot about animal communication in the beginning. In fact, I would have visions of him before I even met him. And I always loved horses. Horses are amazing animals. I never realized how spiritual they are and how mystical they are. For me, I grew up on Long Island in New York, and it was really, really out of reach for so many people to be involved, with horses. But I lived in Ohio for a long time, and there you could have a horse that lived on a farm. So that's when I met my Tonky. We have Diana from Washington. How are you, Diana?
I'm good. How are you?
the stripper.
Good. Is that the correct way to pronounce your name?
Diana, yes.
Because my friend at the studio at the station kind of spelled it a little wiggy. So unless it is spelled with an H at the end, is it?
I'm Diana. Diana.
Oh, okay. He said to me, he just told me he didn't ask you how you spelled it. Anyway, Diana, what can I do for you? What can I do for you?
Oh, I was just going to ask about Julie, my visa.
Oh, okay.
You know me.
Yes, I know you. I feel like I really know you. But of course we've met, through the miracle of the internet. And have corresponded now for quite some time. What would you like to know about Julie? What's going on with Julie?
Well, a couple of things. You know, I've had her, gosh, how long have I had her now? A year and a half, and she adores me, and I adore her. And she'd go every place with me, anytime, anywhere if she could. But when we got her, someone had kept her crated a long time, where she was only out for a short while. So she's so afraid of being left outside that she will sit in the house and drink her own urine to not go outside. Isn't that sad?
Yeah. But does she have to go outside? She'll go out with you,
right?
You
know what I do? I go out with her. I go out with her and make sure she goes potty.
Yeah. She'll go out with you.
Yeah.
She's just going to... And in a way, you kind of wanted a mama's girl.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I did. Yes.
So you kind of got your wish. As I was saying earlier in the show, I really believe that we're matched, you know, that when we feel connected to an animal, it fulfills a need in us. And this animal is being totally rehabilitated by you.
I know. She loves me so much, and I love her so much.
And it's so good for you because you really are feeling needed. And, you know, so it works for you. I just think you're going to have to be with her when she's outside. And she's always going to be looking over her shoulder. Do you have a dog park near you?
Oh, we're on 3 acres. And we are fenced in. And they have a lot of fun here. We have deer and elk and
raccoons and
porcupines.
Are there any other dogs that she can also play with?
Oh, yes, Hunter, our German short hair.
Okay, so there's another dog.
Yes, he loves Hunter.
Is he showing her the ropes a little bit?
He is. When she first came, she didn't know how to play. And Hunter, at first, he was jealous. And then now he treats her like his little fawn. He absolutely adores her. He protects her. He looks out for her. When she's in heat, he stays on the property line and makes sure no other dogs come in. He's very protective of her. He loves her.
Is there a reason you haven't spayed her?
Well, that's what I've been struggling with this because she is a
she's purebred.
A paper dog that I haven't got papers for, and I struggle with the idea whether I should spay her or let her have puppies because everybody wants her, all my family wants her, and it's like they want one of her puppies, but the puppies go for like $1,000 each, and it's I don't know. I just don't know what to do there.
I'm not feeling that great in having her, even though she's a beautiful, amazing dog, I'm not feeling that great about having her be a breeding dog. You know?
I know.
I'm just not
it's
feeling
not
great
worth
about
getting
it.
The papers for that, is it?
I don't know if, I just don't know for her personality how it would be for her. So you
I
may
know.
want to consider.
I guess her brother got grand champion at nationals or something, but you know, I'm not that kind of person to go out there all over to say that she's the best, because I already know she is. I don't need some judge to tell me that.
Well, like for example, our Whippet is from Champion Line, but mm-hmm. she was where we got her. She was the pet. She was kept by the breeder for her personal pet, and then the breeder was having some back surgery, and so she had to let her go. And so we were blessed right after we lost Boney. You know, my 16-year-old Whippet, we lost Boney, and then shortly thereafter we found Gracie, and she's, you know, she's a grand champion stock, and she has those Whippet right. legs, and her grandpa was a champion. But I love her for who she is,
and that's how I feel.
You know, and I don't want to be, I wouldn't have wanted to be a breeder. There's a lot that goes into having to be a breeder.
And plus, I'm not comfortable with having her go under anesthesia to have her hips x-rayed.
For dysplasia,
you
mean?
I don't want to do that. Yes, uh-huh.
I'm really not feeling good about it, hon. I really think being spayed is not a big procedure.
No.
And I think I think she'll be more comfortable, too, when she doesn't have to be going into heat.
Oh, I know, the poor thing. Yeah, she's already had, like, 3 heats since I've had her.
I really recommend
it. And then I had this lady who has her papers send a dog out that was old, and his hind legs couldn't hold up, and I thought, you know, what am I doing? And it didn't work out. Julie finally said no.
I just think you should let her, you know, she's had a rough...
It hasn't been worth it.
No, just let her be your love of your life and, you know, be gorgeous and amazing and let everybody be jealous. And I would just free her of that. Now, I'm not the final authority, but
if it were me...
I just am not feeling great about her being a breeding dog. I'm feeling great about her being your dog. It's like she's been through enough.
Yes. I don't know exactly what she's been through, but I just know when I got her, my niece's ex-boyfriend had crated her most of the time. And she came to our house, and she just loves it.
Well, I had a vision. You must live. It must look like a dog park, because I had this vision of like a fenced in. We have a really, really nice
one. It is.
Yeah. So,
it
I
is.
Mean,
we have a cat house, a camel cat house, and bridges, and a dog kennel that never gets used unless we're, you know, gone for an hour or two. It is a park here.
Well, then she's in doggy paradise.
She is.
I think you should just enjoy the two dogs and enjoy her. But she does adore you.
I will go with that, because it's too difficult to go along the road that I've been seeing.
It's a very big commitment. It's very difficult, and it's very hard on the dogs.
Yes, and, you know, like I say, there's so many family members and friends that want a pup, and yet, you know, when it comes to business and they're worth $1,000 and they don't want to pay, and it's like, why do I want to set myself up for that? Yeah, when it comes to math, much less with my pet.
I think she should just, instead of being a money source, she's your love, and I not that there's anything. Yes. I mean, some people they love to be breeders. They're wonderful at it. They love to show. They go on the circuit. That's a whole thing, and they make that their life.
It's a lot of money to do that too, to go on a circuit like that. That would be very expensive.
It's very expensive. It's a full lifestyle commitment, and for
that's not me.
No, for you, I would just be in love with your dog.
I am. And I've had a dog since I was like a year old.
Well, I didn't discover.
I've always had one.
If you heard earlier in the show, I mean, I grew up with a brat, and then I didn't rediscover, you know, the love of a dog until, you know, until later as an adult. And I've been very blessed. I think they're absolute angels, and I think if every home in the world had one, then our world would be better.
Oh, I totally agree. Totally agree. Hunter's a good boy too. He's a big baby.
Yes. He sounds like he's just been a delightful brother.
Yes.
For her.
Yes. He's my son's dog. My 18-year-old son's dog. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Well, anyway, I'm so happy that you called. And listen to the show. And call in again.
Thank you, Deborah.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So, wow, this hour's going really fast. We have about another, if there are other callers out there, we have time for one or two at 888-815-9756. I started to talk about my wonderful horse, Tonky. And remember, that's Tonk, the Mystic Wonder Horse, his very own fan page on Facebook, because I got to see him today for a little while. And he really is able to communicate strongly telepathically. And when it first started happening with him, I really just couldn't believe it, because it was so clear, and it was in English, and it was information that I wasn't bringing about for myself. I have on my page on Facebook, and I have a personal page, I have uploaded some videos that I've done with Tonk where I was translating some of the things that he was saying. And he talks about human beings and some of the ways that if we were able to be more like horses, we would have less problems. I don't recall the details of all of the things. That's why I know it's not for me, because I can't even recall all the details of some of the things that I've translated from him. But they're, in their simplicity, they're actually, you know, they're very profound. Animals observe human behavior, and they think that we complicate things terribly, and that we sometimes have our priorities upside down, and we make our lives much more difficult than they have to be. And, of course, horses are herd animals. And even though they get into their little tiffs, I've seen some really funny things happen around food and around territory, and the way, you know, I've seen Tonk turn his rear toward another horse and basically saying, you know, this is my lump of hay, and if you get any closer, I'm going to show you what for. You know, and things like that. You know, they have ways to communicate with each other. But for the most part, if anything were to threaten the herd, they're all together. And they watch out for each other. And they need to be in companionship and relationship with other horses. So it's very fascinating to observe them and to be in a relationship with a horse as a human, to have that kind of interaction. It's been very, very rewarding for me. And Tonk's been in my life for a very long time, at least 11 or 12 years. I'm not sure actually how old he is. You know, I think he's actually pretty old for a horse. Thank God they have a long lifespan, but I appreciate every minute and every day I have with him. You know, he's just an amazing animal. And I've shared this on other shows. One of the first ways that I knew I had a telepathic relationship with him was he got into an accident. I kept seeing it in a dream because I was away and I didn't know about it. And, you know, people didn't, they knew that I would rush right home. And so people chose not to tell me. And of course, you know, any animal lover will say, "Well, that's terrible. I would have wanted to go home." But I had other family obligations at the time. And so when I, but I kept having the dream. And, you know, I saw myself in a corral with him and a lot of other horses, and he was uncomfortable and didn't like it. And then I saw him, we both jumped through a fence to get away from these other horses. And I had just moved him to a new barn, and he was with a lot of other geldings, they're called. That's male horses that have been gelded. So they're as opposed to being a stallion. When I got back, someone told me, someone said, "So you heard about your horse?" I said, "No, what are you talking about?" And it turned out that he literally, there was a terrible rainstorm while I was away. He tried to jump over the fence to get away from all the other horses, like in my dream. And instead, he went through the fence, like in my dream. And it was bad. He cut his legs. Thank God, I had wonderful people who took care of him, and you know, he was able he to repair. And I did some energy work with him, and his legs were able to heal, and he got some really good years in as a trail horse, as a little crazy trail horse, because he used to go from 0 to 80, and I would just hang on for dear life. So, you know, so I have a good relationship with him, but I was never great in like, you know, I mean, we had an understanding that I was an adequate rider and that he wasn't crazy about being ridden, because he just really liked to run and take off. So we sort of had this understanding that, you know, I would hold on and not fall off, and we would have some fun. And we did. And we developed, you know, a real balance with each other. And for those of you who know about riding horses, I know you can relate to what it feels like when you're really in sync, with a good trail horse. I am not trained in English riding. I have never jumped. I know nothing about it. I've seen people do wonderful, beautiful things. I am strictly a Western saddle, with an alter ego as a cowgirl. And so that was good enough for me, and we had a lot of fun. And now he's retired, and in a very short order, I'm moving him to a place where he's going to be just retired and able to chew on lots of grass. So we are moving, and I'm going to post a movie of Tonk and his move to his new home. But what was interesting is I was very, very, very worried about moving him, because I've had to move him several times, and he's made it very, very clear that he doesn't like, you know, if I don't get to see him, and he doesn't like to be moved. He gets used to places. And so when I saw him today, I was able, it's the second time I explained to him, you know, "I'm moving you to this barn." And he's lived there before. So he knows it, and he knows the person who's going to be taking care of him. And interestingly enough, and this is the blessing of telepathy. I talked to him about it again, and he reflected back to me that he's okay with it, and that even though it's going to take getting used to, he knows the person, and he'll just deal with it, and, you know, that you have to do what you have to do. So, I mean, I love having that kind of relationship with my horse. It's really like another, he's another person, and he's very wise. So if I could bring him on the radio, I would. But the next best thing I can do is to post more videos of Tonk the Mystic Wonder Horse. We have about 10 minutes left. I hope we can work in another caller, 888-815-9756. I will tell you that just like people, animals have very different personalities. I explained that, my Whippet is sulky when I'm away or if she, feels slighted. Whereas my other dog she's like from Dr. Seuss. I don't know who invented her when they were creating dogs, because I thought she was going to be a really little dog like a Papillon. And all of a sudden, there's a Dr. Seuss book where this bird eats these berries and then these different tail portions come out. And that's what kept happening with my dog. And all of a sudden, her legs kept getting longer, and then this big fluffy tail popped out, and then all these weird, pieces of fur, and she's got an underbite, and she's just this cute, funny-looking dog. I rescued her from Pet Finder, but I looked through thousands of pictures, and when I saw her picture, that was my dog. And now I can't imagine my life without her. But she is pure emotion. And she can be happy, and she can be sad, and she can be angry. And she wears it on her sleeve, just like people. And she's much more dog than the other dog, who's actually a little bit more like a cat. So as you're relating with your animals, recognize they are whole personalities, just like a human being is. Even though they're different. And, like if your dog is more dog, don't get in between it and its food, because that's not a good idea. I can communicate with animals, but I'm not about to reach my hand into a cage if the animal's, baring its teeth at me. Although I've had a situation where I just sent love and, I just said, telepathically and through my heart chakra, I kept sending love to this dog that was, growling and barking at me. And what happened is the dog stopped barking and growling and turned its head away and didn't make eye contact with me. And, the owner observed this and said, "I don't know what just happened, but something just happened." But I wasn't foolish enough to stick my hand in or to put my face close, because an animal is still an animal. And so we can have a wonderful relationship and wonderful communication. But sometimes a dog will act on temper and will act on instinct. And we need to be very respectful of the animal kingdom and to recognize that we are from separate worlds, but we also can enjoy and experience how connected we are spiritually and how much we have to offer to one another as understanding from species to species in the world that we share. So we are getting close to the end of the hour. I am absolutely thrilled to be back live on Soul Odyssey Radio. We are here every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And for all of you all around the country, and I know I've got some people who are from other countries, I really am a little bit time zone challenged, but I do know that there are websites that will help translate it for you. And BBS Radio does archive all of the shows. I think one of these days I will find a way to upload some of my archives on my website. My website's www.soul-odyssey.com. And it has contact information. I do personal sessions by phone for those of you who live in the New England area. I am also available to meet with your animals or to meet with you because you are their pet. And you can find all of that information on my website. I'm available to speak and to teach. Each week we will tackle new topics. I particularly love the animal communication topic, which we will do at least once a month, if not twice a month. Let me hear from you. My email is Deborah@soul-odyssey.com. Let me hear from you. Let me know what types of topics you would like to cover. I am a mystic, I'm a medium, animal communicator, and I'm here to teach you and to help you develop your skills and to talk about our souls and our soul odyssey. So we are now at the end of our time together, and I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to me, Deborah Herman, and God bless you all. Good night.